Welcome, everyone. This is the Ethnic Identity Development Seminar. As you know, I've been, I've been with the university for a little bit. This is my 27th year with the university. And I was with the university as a student leader for 4 years. I started actually as a freshman leader at Colgate University. So I've been with the university more than half of my life. I just turned 50 last year. So I want to introduce my family to you. This is my wife, Maritza, and some of you have probably met her before. She's done some work with the university. She's actually the New York, New Jersey Regional Administrator and also did Urbana Worship in 2009. And we've been married for exactly 27 years. And I also moved to New York City 27 years ago. So I started doing campus work, got married, and moved to New York City all within the same like month and a half. Mm-hmm. September and October of 1987. So we have two boys. These are my sons. Daniel, my oldest one, just graduated from the University of Vermont, and my youngest son David, who is about to graduate high school. And so right now I'm a little nervous because he's getting acceptance letters, but he's also getting more rejection letters. And so we're trying to figure out finances, and there are a few schools that he's really interested in going. And so for me, when I think about campus ministry, for me it's not just about the students of other kids, but this is about my family right now. And even when it comes to Latino ministry, there's just a renewed energy and excitement, but also nervousness of how we're meeting the needs, but also how we're falling short. And so my hope is that my son David will have a better experience than my son Daniel, who tried to get involved with the university, but it just didn't work out for him. And David is very committed to the Lord. But, you know, often it depends on the kind of campus that you go to and what's happening there and the student leaders for that year. And so if you can keep my son David in prayer, that would be great. So this next one, I just wanted to introduce a little bit about La Fe. Some of you know about the Latino ministry. We have been at this since 1980, but we've had some a good beginning, but then there have been some challenges over the years. Early in the 80s, when La Fe was just getting started, there were a number of staff who ended up leaving staff who were actually some of the most influential people. People like Rudy Hernandez and Ruth Lewis, who changed over jobs. But then I think probably in the 90s, we began to build momentum with staff gathering, being committed to begin to talk. And a lot of what we did actually was on ethnic identity development. We had quite a few biracial Latinos who felt that they shouldn't even be in the room. And as we talked, this issue of ethnic identity development was, I think, the very thing that once we got over that hump, La Fe, I think, actually began to take off. So I became La Fe director in 1999, but had a sabbatical and didn't start until 2000, July of 2000. And so we've been planting La Fe ministries. 10 years ago, we might have had Actually, 12 years ago, we might have had 800 students. We have over 2,000, over 2,200 students now. We've grown. This is a chapter from UT Pan Am in McAllen. And probably about 7 or 8 years ago, there was no chapter there at all. It was just a new plant. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity. When people talk about Latino ministry, to students, they really talk about low-lying fruit, that this is, you know, we have students there who are ready to receive Christ, who are open to scripture, who are open to being in small groups. And so my desire is to see La Fe grow at every level, including grad faculty ministry. And I think we're probably at a good place to see that growth begin to happen. We probably have more La Fe staff right now that are going into graduate work at Fuller Seminary or getting their sociology degrees So I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we may see some of those staff begin to move into grad faculty ministry. At least that's my desire. And I mentioned in one of our table groups that I invited Ubi here because he's about to graduate with his PhD, is doing part-time staff work at UTEP. And I would love to, in the future, to maybe see, you know, people like Ubi move into doing grad work. What's that? People like him, exactly like him, but not, yeah. Because, you know, that's what we need. We need people who are equipped, who are also on campuses where there's great potential. And UTEP is one of the schools that has the largest number, one of the largest numbers of Latino graduate students. So keep us in prayer as we continue to grow in doing undergrad work. Our desire is to see that growth happen with grad faculty ministry. And so that's partly why I'm here as well. Not only because Nancy Padula is my best friend, and I love Kathy because we've worked together. I mean, that's all true. But also because, for me too, I just graduated with my DMin from New York Theological Seminary. And so I feel like I have kind of a window now of Latino students doing graduate work. I think for me, the thing that helped me through was that I went through the program with a former student of mine when I first started in 1987. His name is Luis Alvarez. He's an ordained pastor with the Assemblies of God Church. And our commitment was to do this together. And there was something about community for me as a graduate student that just resonated with me culturally, that helped me to kind of sign up and say, yes, I'm willing to spend the next 3 years working on this. And we graduated together. And this was a student that I mentored, that I developed, and now is actually influencing my life in so many ways. So let's talk about ethnic identity development. There are a number of different ways of defining it. This is my definition. It's an awareness, embracing, and engagement of who you are in your ethnicity that contributes to a few things. Contributes to a wholeness of self. Some of you know I wrote a book about 11 years ago, Being Latino in Christ, finding wholeness in your ethnic identity. And so so I think as we begin to engage in ethnic identity development, that there's something about a completeness of it's like a rite of passage as an adult, right? We get to know who we are in our gender. We get to know who we are in so many ways. But I think also this issue of ethnic identity development helps us to gain wholeness in who we are fully as cultural, ethnic people, particularly in America, because I think it's hard to be in America and not deal with this issue of ethnic identity, particularly if you're an ethnic person, Black, Latino, Asian, Native American. So I think it contributes to a wholeness of self, the ability to live with a greater sense of purpose. What we've seen with Latino students and staff is that as they begin to engage this issue, it doesn't make them more ethnocentric. What it does is it opens them up to a commitment to other people's ethnicity as well. And so so I think the more you deal with this issue, the more you begin to find a sense of what God has for you. And so we've seen students go from students who are biracial, who are very reluctant to engage in this issue, become leaders. In fact, Jen Ball, some of you know Jen Ball, she's a divisional director in Los Angeles. I remember when she started coming to our La Fe gatherings for staff, and she had no desire really to be there. In fact, she was there because her staff worker, her supervisor told her that she had to come because she was getting ME 1% money. And so she came. But as she began to interact and engage with others, as many of us did, we began to realize how ethnic we were as Latinos. And we began to see some commonality. And I saw her really blossom as a leader, and I saw many of us. And so so she's one of the people who's even leading us in ethnic identity development with La Fe as one of our key speakers often. So I think it gives us greater purpose. It also lays the groundwork for cross-cultural dexterity. And so I know some of you have read the inclusion paradox. And so what Andres says is we cannot even begin to make the interpersonal and group thing work with different people from us if we don't know ourselves as cultural beings. Many spiritual traditions and leadership books reveal that one secret to enlightenment, wisdom, power, and fellowship is self-awareness. Who am I? What has shaped me? What motivates me? How do I understand the world? So I think before we can even begin to engage others, it's very helpful to begin to engage our own ethnicity, because I think it creates a greater value for other people's journeys. What ethnicity is not is, or ethnic identity is not ethnocentrism. And at times on campus, we have dealt with different ministries like Mecha, or organizations like Mecha or Lasso, that are organizations that are very militant, that really push for ethnic identity development. But it's more for this idea of tribalism, where there's a separatism that happens, where people are being pulled away. And then you have to meet certain standards of what they see as ethnicity. And if you don't meet that, if you don't speak Spanish, if you don't believe the same things they do politically, they begin to rule you out as not ethnically enough to be a part of the group. What we've tried to do with La Fe is to allow people to just be a part of us and to be present and to explore their own ethnic journey at their own pace. And I'll say a little bit more about that. The main thing I want to do now is just talk about how to help others grow in their ethnic journey. We only have an hour for this time, and so it's very hard to do everything that we need to do on this issue. But these are some things, some lessons that I think we've learned with La Fe that I think has really been fruitful for us. And some of this we've learned as we've mentored people individually. Some of it has come out of mentoring students through different conferences, national events that we've done. Some of you know that we have a La Fe student conference every 3 years. We started with La Fe 04. And we've had one ever since then. And I mentioned yesterday that conference was modeled after our Atlanta conference, which we no longer have. I mentioned always that BCM had a lot to do with how La Fe was shaped early on. And a lot of my mentors were Black staff and Black area directors from New York, New Jersey, which had the strongest Black student ministry in the country for a while. And that's where I learned a lot of lessons as well. So creating a safe space. I remember, like I mentioned, in those early meetings when staff gathered, there was one point where we went around and we asked people to share, a little bit about themselves and, why they were there, whether, at this gathering. This was under Sam Barkat's leadership. And I remember... And this wasn't the question, but everyone went around and they talked about why they were not ethnically Latino enough to be in the room. And so, and some of them were biracial. Some people ruled themselves out because their Spanish wasn't good enough, or maybe they didn't live close enough to the border to identify with being Latino. So there was something for everybody. What was interesting about that is that we created a safe space for people to begin to talk about that and to even admit, I don't know what it means to be Latino and I don't even know why I'm here and I'd rather be somewhere else. But in the course of that, as we talked, as we explored our journey together in a safe environment, people began to feel like, okay, this is something that I can enter into and nobody's going to judge me for it. Because I think with people who struggle with their ethnic identity, there's this strange idea that people who are more ethnically pure are ready to kind of jump on you and judge you for not being ethnic enough or Latino enough. And some of us have experienced that. I've experienced that with times that I've gone to Puerto Rico or been in family gatherings. But I think for the most part, the desires to invite people into that experience. But I think we create these ghosts or these obstacles. And I think one of them is that people inherently want to reject us or judge us. So creating a safe space. The other is let them grow at their own pace. And so we've seen also staff and students that when we try to push them towards this, we've never had good results. But when you allow people to grow in their own pace, we've had better results. One of them is a staff worker in South Jersey. I won't mention any names. But when she first came in with La Fe, she was biracial and felt like she just didn't want to be a part of La Fe. At ONS, we had ethnic-specific gatherings, and she didn't necessarily want to be a part of that, but felt obligated to go. And so I remember thinking, you know, this is somebody who is not ready to engage at the level that some of the others are. And so, you know, what do I do with that? Do I try to push her to catch up? Or do I just let her be and just get involved and hear and maybe even create tension for us, because there were times that happened, but just let her be and let her listen and see what God creates out of that. And so she began to come to some of our La Fe national events, and she came to La Fe 10 and just listened and participated a little bit, and slowly I began to see her grow in her ethnic journey. And it was really beautiful how it happened, to the point now at La Fe 13, is a conference we just had in Tampa, where now she was actually leading in ethnic identity development in one of our first tracks that we do. And so she was giving a talk and sharing her story. And so it probably took her maybe 6 or 7 years, maybe less than that, maybe 5 years to get there. But now she's in a different place, and I think that's what we have to do. We have to create these spaces that are safe, and then we have to allow people to grow at their own pace. Be willing to engage your own ethnic journey. And so Andres Tapia talks about that in his book as well. You can't lead anybody where you haven't been before. I remember a few years back, we had another Latino staff worker who felt that La Fe was emphasizing ethnic identity development too much. And so he felt like, you know, I'm past that, and so everybody else should be past that. And so so he wasn't engaging his ethnic journey until he met another Latino student who mentioned to him that he was depressed, that he didn't know who he was as a Latino, and that he was even thinking about suicide, and that he was just really grappling with for him what it meant to be Latino. And all of a sudden this staff worker realized, oh my God, I've overlooked this in my own life, in my own journey, and now I'm not prepared to help him engage at this level. And so he had to go back and begin to kind of explore his own ethnic journey and figure out what that meant for him, and then be able to help, was able to engage this student. And I think this is true for when you think about doing this cross-culturally. And I've seen, for example, white staff who've done a great job in mentoring and discipling Latino students in their own ethnic journey. And one of the people is Tim Craig in New York City, who used my book actually to mentor one of his Latina students. And I think his feeling was, I have no idea what it means to be Latino in Christ. And so so what do I do with that? So he got my book. We had him over for dinner as well. So we didn't know each other real well, but there was a familiarity. And so they began to meet and they began to go through the book together. There are questions in the book that can help with this. And eventually they had an incredible experience together in terms of growing together in their own ethnic journey. And Andres Tapia talks also about this whole idea of reciprocal mentoring. And he mentions that, he talks about, you know, certain corporations that are beginning to pair people up, right, to begin to talk about their ethnic journeys and being cross-cultural. And so the idea, right, is that you grow together in your ethnic journey. And so I think that's what happened with Craig. By the end of this, they had an incredible experience, and he didn't feel like he had to know everything about what it meant to be Latino. So I think this is possible to do cross-culturally, as long as we're willing to be open and to explore this for ourselves. The other is encourage them to connect with others in their own ethnic group. A few years back, I remember Steve Tamayo, who's now the area director in South Florida, was struggling with some issues in his region. He was in the Blue Ridge region. There weren't many Latinos. In fact, I think he was the only Latino in his region. And I think it was a few years in, and Joe Ho, who was his area director, realized this very issue, that he needed to begin to have some fellowships and some connection and some mentoring with somebody else who was from his own ethnic background. And so Steve was sent up to New York City. We spent maybe 3 days together, and we just talked about our lives, about our families, about issues he was facing. And that was the very thing that helped him to stay on staff long term. And so here's somebody who was ready to leave staff or contemplating it, and now he's the area director for a very important area in the country, South Florida, where we're trying to plant La Fe Ministries. And so there are ways that I think you don't have to do this yourself. You can think about how can they connect with other Latino staff. In fact, we have a peer mentoring program for staff. And so if you think that there's a staff or even a student who needs to connect with others, we can help provide some of that connection. Yeah.
Would you do this with students from the majority culture who don't have any, think they have an ethnic identity at all?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there are people throughout the country who've done a lot of good work in ethnic identity development as white men or women. People like Todd Minturn, Doug Shelp, who wrote the book Being White, it's called. So I think part of it is finding the people who are willing to do it and who have had some experience in that. I think it's possible. And like Andres mentions in his book, this is for everybody. This is not just for ethnic students or staff. This is, you know, we all have to enter our journey. And I think that's been part of the debate within InterVarsity is with white ethnic identity development, where should that be housed? Should that be housed in campus ministries? Should it be housed with multi-ethnic ministries? Because it, you know, there, you can make a case for it fitting well in either one of those. And I think particularly with white staff or students who are doing cross-cultural ministry, I think for them to begin to engage in this I think is pretty important. So. And then the last one I'll mention is use resources that have proven helpful. And I don't want to toot my own horn here, but this is a really good book on Latino ethnic identity development. And I've been, it took me a few years to believe that because, you know, you write a book and you don't know who's reading it, and you're not hearing anything back sometimes, and you wonder, like, why did I write this, and did it hit the mark? What's happening now is that after I wrote it in 2003, so after 11 years, it's still, I think, the preeminent book on Latino ethnic identity development for college students in particular. And so I remember this first. Second year in, Crusade bought, I think, like 5,000 or 10,000 it was like maybe 8,000 copies of the book, and used it nationally for their new student outreach at the time. Ministries in Tampa, for example, kind of got launched by using the book. And so I use a number of things in there that have been tested and tried within a varsity. Some of you are familiar with the Roots exercise that we should do years ago with the Multi-Ethnic Institute. And basically, that's just a series of questions that helps you to explore your family background, your traditions, your values, your beliefs, even some places where there are stereotypes in your family, all of that that begins to inform who you are, how you've been shaped in your ethnic journey. And so out of that, I used that resource to develop some exercises for NSO, for ONS, actually, a few years back. And some of that is online. You can find that online. And there are different names, so you could look for it under the Roots exercise, but it may be named something else. It morphs over the years. I don't know what it's named now online. But yeah, I think under Multi-Ethnic Ministries, you'll probably find it there as well. So I think, you know, there are a lot of resources out there. I think, too, the problem with InterVarsity is that sometimes we have so many resources that you're inundated, right? And you don't know what to use. And so I've had people ask me, well, what should I use? Or, what resources are available? And there are so many that we just haven't done the work to explore, even with InterVarsity Press, what's available. And so let me mention a few that I think have proven helpful over the years. So my book, Being Latino in Christ, for Latinos, also Santa Biblia, the book that we talked about that Justo Gonzalez wrote. People like Abner Ramos has found that helpful. Galilean Journey, which is written by a Catholic priest, Virgilio Elizondo, really good, does a good good work on a theological perspective on our humanity and our connection with Jesus and his humanity. For biracial folk, Check All That Apply, Cindy Fraser, some of you have maybe used that. For our Asian students, More Than Serving Tea is a book written by women through the Women's Daniel Project. It was an Asian American Daniel Project. And so part of the commitment that they made together was to write a resource for Asian women. Invitation to Lead, written by Paul Tokunaga. It's a great book on leadership, but it also deals really well with what it means to be Asian, ethnic, and American. The other one, Following Jesus Without Dishonoring Your Parents, is a study guide that can be used. There's another book that just came out. I'm not familiar with it, but I thought it was interesting. Grassroots Asian Theology. So maybe with some of our graduate students looking at their ethnic journey as Asians, but maybe from a theological perspective, I think could be helpful. For our Black students, Black Fire, Black Man's Religion, which talks about the misconception that Christianity is a white religion. So they address that issue. Defending Black Faith is another IVP book. For our Native American students, One Church, Many Tribes, written by Richard Twiss, who died, I think, just a year or two ago. It's a book that some of our staff have used. He also wrote, Randy Woodley wrote a book in 2012 called Shalom and Community Creation, an Indigenous Vision. And he also wrote a great book on ethnic diversity called Living in Color, Embracing God's Vision for Ethnic Diversity. And so those are just a few resources that are out there. So I wanted to open it up for questions now. And also, Ubi is here, and so you can ask him questions as well. He's doing staff work, like I mentioned, at UTAP. And so I've done a lot of work in this area, but I am not an expert. I think like you mentioned yesterday, these are places where we're all growing all the time. And so it's for even in preparing for this, I had to reread parts of my book to remember what have I written about this and thought about. And, you know, and after 27 years of ministry, 26 years of ministry, there are stories from years back when my faith started that I need to kind of remember as well. And then even, you know, some of the recent things that have happened. One quick story, even recently, we had another La Fe staff who wasn't wanting to engage in this issue of ethnic identity. And so she, before New Student Outreach, one of her student leaders had a vision of a name. And so she felt that God was calling her to pray specifically for this name. I don't remember what the name was. But she was praying regularly, like weeks before class even started. And she mentioned it to this staff worker and said, I feel like God's calling me to pray for this name, for this person. And so they started doing new student outreach and were going to different dorms and talking to people. And they actually met somebody with this name. And it was like a first and a last name. And they realized, oh my God, you know, this is, maybe God is present in this. And so they invited her to a an university gathering. They just had a multi-ethnic fellowship on this campus. It was in LA. And so she came, but there wasn't a lot of interest there. She just wasn't connecting, and they weren't sure why. And they continued to pray for her. And then this staff worker realized, well, there's a Lafe gathering that's dealing with ethnic identity and all these issues. And she normally didn't go to those gatherings, but she figured, well, maybe this will be the thing that helps her to connect. So she invited her, this student went, and you know, during the course of the worship, because they did worship, and then there was a speaker, and this staff worker is just mingling with other staff, and all of a sudden, she sees this student with her hands raised, worshiping God. This was a non-Christian student, singing in Spanish, and just having an incredible transformational experience, and actually, she accepted the Lord at that event, at that gathering. And so they were right in, you know, in getting the name and praying, and God did the work, but God did it through an ethnic-specific work, not through the multi-ethnic chapter that she felt. We need to be just about multi-ethnicity. And if we have Latino students, that's great, but we're more than that. And so I think what she realized was that there's a place for ethnic identity development and ethnic-specific work. And it's not that all of the work is accomplished that way, but sometimes significant work for some of our students are done in an ethnic-specific way. So the end of the story is that she got back on campus, started getting involved, but a month later, she was crossing the street and was hit by a car and was thrown up in the air and hit her head and actually was killed in that. So it's just a very, you know, it's a very tragic thing, but at the same time, they listened to God, and God used Abner Ramos and the Lafe gatherings that they were doing at the time to reach her at a crucial moment in her life. You know. So those are things that God knows. God knows what's happening in people's lives. We don't. And so there are other stories like that I can tell. Maybe not that dramatic. But, you know, for me, the reason that's so dramatic is because this was a staff worker that we had a lot of problems and that we experienced a lot of resistance from her in this whole area of ethnic identity development. And yet after this experience, I think it was really transformational for her. Well, we need to close out. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.